Hello, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast, hosted by Enterprise Management Associates, an industry-leading IT analyst research firm that provides deep insights across the full spectrum of IT and data management technologies. The Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast will take a deep dive into the security topics that are top of mind for information security practitioners, IT professionals, and technology business leaders. Join security experts Chris Steffen, VP of Research at EMA, and Ken Buckler, Research Analyst at EMA, for some truly awesome topics. Chris and Ken, take it away.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Steffen. Joining me today is Paul and Nicole from DataBee. Data security is obviously something top of mind with me. I met the folks from DataBee earlier this year, and I have been enamored with the progress that they have been making. They have a great story. I'd like them to kind of really guide the conversation that we have going today. So without really getting a whole lot more into it, Paul, why don't you introduce yourself, and then we'll go to Nicole.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us, Chris. My name is Paul Kivikink. I'm the VP of Product Management for a small startup with a large company, and our startup is DataBee.
Awesome. And I'm Nicole Bucala, and I'm the CEO of DataBee by Comcast Technology Solutions.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for joining me today. The things that they're doing at DataBee are revolutionary, from understanding how data is supposed to be used, how data is supposed to be secured, how data can just be identified. And Nicole, why don't you talk to me a little bit about your story? Talk to me about why you decided to go down this road and give me a little bit of the backstory of what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've always been someone who's been really attracted to the idea of making progress on solving problems that are big, problems that people have tried to solve and are somewhat intractable, problems that when solved can provide a lot of benefit to society. And, you know, Comcast reached out to me in 2022 and they said, hey, you know, would you come over and start this security data fabric business? We have a technology that our CISO invented and we think it can be the blueprint for a new business. And so, you know, I went into Google and I Googled security data fabric and nothing came up. So that gave me a really important piece of information, which was I had my timing right. You know, I had my timing right for a new technological approach that hadn't really yet been tried to solve a big problem. And the problem itself, the concept of actually having good data upon which to do security data analysis is a very, very intractable problem. I've worked for several employers that have attempted to address the issue of challenges in having global unified data sets, challenges in making sure you have all the data you want for analysis, challenges in making sure that the data is accurate and that it is complete in the set. You know, these approaches that have been tried in the past, you know, didn't work for a variety of reasons. They could have been too expensive. They could have simply been inefficient. They could have missed a key portion of the need for the buyer and for the user. And so it was amazing to me to see that internal to Comcast, Comcast had actually invented a new architecture, a new way of approaching this problem. And that's what really hooked me, was this new architectural approach, the security data fabric architecture.
That's brilliant. And I love this conversation in general. I think it you're really standing the market up on its head with the idea that we don't have the data that we need. I mean, it's 2024. Let's just be very, very candid here. There is so much data out there, which is why I think your approach to data and data review and the data fabric is so critical. Talk to me a little bit about that. Talk to me about why your approach, the data fabric approach, is so different.
You know, a traditional approach to security data analysis is what's called a close-coupled architecture, where your compute, your storage, your analysis, even at the beginning, your ingest and your parsing, it's all done and contained, you know, in the four walls of the room. It's all done and contained in that SIM, you know, a security incident and event management system, right? People abbreviate that and pronounce it a SIM. And that worked well originally I think, when security was kind of becoming a thing. I mean, when we think about it, cybersecurity is still a new thing. Like, even
isn't that crazy? I mean, yeah. Isn't that crazy? I know I've had that conversation before. I've been doing it for, 20 plus years now. So, of course, I feel ancient in the grand scheme of things. But when you start taking and talking about the maturity of technologies, we are really at the forefront of understanding how a lot of this stuff works. And of course, it's being iterated every single moment of every single day. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we always lose sight of. And it's a great point that I wanted to make certain that we covered.
Yeah. And you make another good point there, which is just from a technology standpoint. I mean, the more we innovate digitally, right, the more new technologies are created digitally, the more ways are created to exploit what's in those technologies or how those technologies are used. And that's what's led to the growth of cybersecurity. And so anyhow, when cybersecurity was kind of small, when it was just beginning and the problems were smaller and the scope was smaller, this SIEM approach worked really, really well. Today, though, the data sets that enterprises have to contend with are vast because they typically operate in hybrid environments. They have resources on premises. They have resources in the cloud. They have workers in the office. They have workers at home. They have contractors. Just the amount of activity that's happening and the scale and the complexity. And then you add the regulations that are coming down the pipe that say, well, you need to provide this evidence. You need to store these logs for this amount of time. Today, one of the main jobs of a CISO is simply to answer questions, right? Like, do I have this control in place? Where did the attacker go? And what information did they take? And to answer questions, you need good information. You need the right information. So you can answer those questions and you can make good decisions with it.
So let me stop you there, because you mentioned several things that I can't just let go. Okay. So the first thing is the CISO as a communicator. And that is such a critical point. And it's a point that we overlook so often when you're talking about what the core responsibilities of a CISO are. We're talking about, can I implement projects? Am I a good project leader? Am I a good people leader? So on and so forth. But the skill that I have found through the years that matters the most is communication. And to take that to the next level, you need good, accurate data to be able to communicate up the food chain. That's something that's critical. I think that we don't talk about that nearly enough either, especially when you're talking about the role of the CISO and why they're such the unicorn that they are out there. I would love to talk more about that. Then talk also, because you mentioned something else, talk to me a little bit about where data is going in the grand scheme. When you start taking and talking about how data security is kind of in its infancy, talk to me a little bit about what you see is the future of how data is used, not only in a corporate environment for security, but how data is going to be used in general.
Yeah, this is a great question. So it's really connected security data that works for everyone. And if we go back to sort of the CISO, as you described, which is a really hard job, but all these different functions that report into it from, security teams, the SOC, you may have adjacent GRC teams, other security adjacent teams. All of them in many large organizations today have their own set of tools and their own data silos. So when they're looking to get an answer to a question, maybe it's a security control question, maybe it's a compliance question, maybe it's a threat question. Often those are still coming from different sets of tools and different data silos. So when we see where this is going in the future, that connected security data that works for everyone, we see a world where all of these questions and all of these answers can be asked of a single data set. And the answers that you get back with confidence. You know that you've brought in you have all of the right data. You've connected the data to maybe other data silos that you need data from. It could be your security tools, bringing in your organizational data, your business data, your vulnerability data, all of your asset data, all of that into a single place. So when you have a question that the CISO needs to answer to the board, they can confidently get those answers very quickly. So you don't have you know, security analysts, you know, data wrangling in a room or pivoting between tools, they can answer the questions they have from a single data set. They can agree on the answers that they get. And we often see this in almost compliance settings as well of, hey, if you see a compliance score or a metric, does the business agree that that is accurate and be able to trace that back to, yes, it's a single data set. We can see the data that is, you know, resulted in this, you know, compliance to this metric, this answer, you can all agree on it. And then of course it comes down to cost. So, you know, our organizations don't have infinite budget, so you need to do this in a very economical way. I would say when, you know, when I think of the legacy security tools that we've used, sort of economical data storage was probably not top of mind for a lot of these tools. So we want to be able to do this and not do it in a cost prohibitive manner. So can we actually get more confident, better answers across all the data that we need? And because we're consolidating data silos and be able to store this data in sort of flexible storage, and DataBee kind of sits on top of a modern data lake of choice that the customer brings, we can kind of swap out the inputs of data sources, swap out the outputs, swap out where the data is stored. It's almost decoupling the data from your individual tools and bringing it into a single data fabric, and then bringing that data to, you know, tools, workflows that the customers already have. Very, very long answer to a short question.
It's not a short question, and it's one of those things that really does need to be looked at. I would sum it up, and I've used this term a number of times, and people look at me with a, you know, strange look, but it's all about data fidelity. And data fidelity, in my way of thinking, is how am I going to be able to reliably look at a set of data and be able to present that. And to your point, Paul, I think it's really important to, as a CISO, to be able to take and have that single source where all your data is located, understood, massaged, reconciled, and then you can deal with that data accordingly to provide you results that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise. So
I was saying, I think you pointed out really actually two hard challenges on sort of getting started on this journey of one of the sort of core areas that we've built out within DataBee. And the first is, before you deliver any insights or can answer any questions, how do you make that data usable to begin with? So that's all around, you know, data transformation and being able to normalize that data into a schema that you can use to get answers for security and compliance and, you know, adjacent use cases. So we standardized on using the Open Cybersecurity Schema Framework, or OCSF, which is a fairly new framework. And we found it's been really helpful in getting, you know, and providing sort of a definition or a schema that we can start answering those questions with. And we've taken it and we've extended it a bit as well to add sort of additional use case and the ability to answer different questions for different stakeholders beyond just cyber threat detection. So making the data usable is one really hard challenge that DataBee has built out. And the second one, to your point, around data quality. So I've been in security for a long time. I started off my career as an analyst, and the concept of data quality within security, I think, has been absent for a very long time. And I mean, the most common example of this, if you ask an analyst, of they go and they try to go ask a question, whether it's related to an incident or something they need to investigate, but they go and they find out the data that they had onboarded in the solution or they thought they had is no longer there. And one of the most common reasons for that is, you know, the vendor of the data source makes an update and it breaks your log ingestion. So that's one, you know, simple example of data quality issues within security. Of course, there are many other data quality issues, but what we've done within DataBee is actually taken the best aspects of data quality within a modern data stack and brought that over to security as well. So we are doing that continuous data quality of monitoring that the data that we expect to come in is coming in hour to hour, day to day. So we can make sure that we're monitoring the right sources and the, you know, the events within those sources. And if there's a fluctuation in, you know, events dropped or a spike in events, something changes, we want to be notified and figure out where in the pipeline that change. Is that due to the data source vendor? Is that something within the transformation? So we want to make sure we have good quality data. And again, automate that. Security people want to focus on what they're best at. And that's really sort of, you know, investigations analysts doing something with the data. They don't want to focus their time on sort of engineering the data.
Yeah, that's a fantastic answer, Paul. And again, I appreciate the insights. I think we're about wrapped up for today. Nicole, Paul, did you guys have any last words that you wanted to share before we wrap up?
Yeah, I actually just wanted to get back to kind of the original topic around just architecture and what makes data be different. I had been talking about kind of the close coupled architecture of a SIEM and how that worked early on. And you know, I think the key thing to know is now that we're so much more advanced and there's so much more data, you know, that architecture doesn't work anymore. It needs to be a data fabric architecture where you actually decouple your ingestion, your compute, and your transformation from your storage and your analytical layer. You know, it's actually that decoupling that allows you the flexibility to be able to save money, be efficient, and really contend with the vast types of data that we get in the world that we live in today. And so it's really that data fabric architecture that has enabled us to finally solve this problem. And so we're excited about the benefits that we're able to bring customers with this new approach.
You absolutely should be. Paul, did you have any last words?
I'm really excited. This is probably one of the most exciting things I've worked on in my career. And it was a bit of an epiphany of a lot of the challenges I experienced sort of when I was a practitioner and analyst. The light bulb went off. I mean, when I came over to DataBF, if I could actually solve the data upstream, that would actually solve a lot of the challenges I had and answers I couldn't get. And I'm excited about the journey ahead of us and helping customers sort of get more value out of the data that they have.
Yeah, part of the reason that you guys are on this podcast today is I see it exactly the same way that you did, Paul, right? I mean, I take and have insights into every data product that there is out there for the most part. But this one was very different and very exciting to me. It's a very different approach. This is really the future of data management and using a data fabric to combine your data and have a better look and better fidelity of how your data is going to work. With that, I really appreciate it, Paul. Nicole, thank you again very much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, one quick thing, databee.buzz is where you can learn more.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Nicole. And again, thank you to everybody who's listening. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris and Ken, for all your great insights on today's topic. Make your next podcast awesome when you work with EMA security experts Chris Steffen or Ken Buckler. Educate your prospects, differentiate your solution, and add the credibility of a third-party expert to your message. Visit cybersecurityawesomeness.com to listen to past episodes.